Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, I don't know about you, but I have a new favourite Premier League player. Do you know who my now favourite Premier League player is?
Does he like Ribena?
He loves Ribena. That, I'm telling you, is the best interview I've seen for absolutely ages. If you've not seen the Ola Aina,
it's Olivia,
interview,
isn't it, as well, that's interviewing him.
I think it's Livy that's doing the doing the interviewing, because she's all excited for him as well, obviously. And the dude's just there chilling, drinking a Ribena, just loving his life.
The best thing is that he holds it at one point, and then he almost product places, like placement, moves his hand so you can see it's Ribena. Incoming Ribena sponsorship deal for Ola Aina.
Oh, it's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen. And if you add him in FPL, well done. Mm. Because I don't know how many points he got. Was it 13, 14, double digit
haul?
Very, very nice indeed. So if you had him, well done. Fair play. But the interview, if you've not seen him, oh, you've got to go. You've got to go. You can find it on Twitter or whatever. It's so, so good.
I think you shared it, didn't you? Did I spot you the
shared it? I probably did share it, because I think I shared it with something on Twitter. I think I quote tweeted it with something like, you know, he's now my favourite player of all time or something. Mm. He's gone from being, you know, I knew a little bit about him, but only really from an FPL perspective, to all of a sudden, the dude's just like...
It's when he's just like, I'm knackered, so I thought I'd eat it.
He just came across so well, just as I, you know...
No nonsense. I was just knackered.
Just knackered.
So I hit it. Yeah, and then Liv said something like, and did you expect it to nestle in the top corner? And he just goes... Yeah, something like that.
Good evening to everybody. Thank you for joining the live stream. A few of you saying that my mic is a little bit echoey, so I'm going to turn me...
Oh, no.
We just tested it and it was fine. You guys had a bit of a weird echo, so I'm going to just turn me down a little bit on my volume. If I'm then coming across too quietly, then let me know, guys. Hopefully that's an easy fix. Not like a couple of weeks ago when it really was... incredibly bad. Hopefully this is...
We ran two tests before we started.
Hopefully this is still okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the FPL Family live stream. Nice to see you. We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. Mm. We haven't been here last week.
Maybe if I turn my mic a bit more that way, that might help.
Yeah, maybe. Webby's saying I sound a bit tinny. Mate, that's just my voice. It's just my voice. but we're in... we're echoey, but still too quiet. Still is oddly... It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, we literally tested it 2 minutes before we came on and it was all right.
It sounds like Lee's mic is off. Right, I'll turn myself back up a little bit then. Here we go. I'll find a balance. Can hardly hear you. Yeah, there we go. It's because I turned it too far down. There we go. I'm back up into the yellow now. So we'll see. We'll muddle on through. And if we have to turn my mic off altogether, we'll do that. Yes, thank you for joining us. We were in Paris last week, so no FPL Family live stream.
No.
It seems like a while ago, but that was the triple captain week, wasn't it? The Haaland triple captain fail week. We're going to move on from that.
Nothing happened.
A long time
move
ago.
On.
It was a long time ago. But we are going to be talking about game week 10 this week, guys. The game week's just happened. Although we have still got a game to go. We've got Fulham versus Brentford coming up tomorrow. I've still got three players in that game. I've got Flecken, Mbeumo and Raul Jimenez.
Oh, I forgot you had Flecken.
All to play.
Well, that's 2 points.
Well, I've got Flecken versus Raul Jimenez, so...
Well, you're getting two.
Can't end well, can it?
Flecken is allergic to clean sheets.
He is, yeah. He doesn't mind a save, does he? But apart from that, he's not that great.
Bless him.
But well, so I've got three still to go, but that doesn't stop me from having an absolute stinker in game week 10 so far, guys. And if I think back to a couple of weeks ago when we last came to you after game week 8 and I was in about 780k and starting to make a move into the top million... I can tell you it's only been downhill over the last couple of weeks. Only downhill. And it could have been worse because I didn't triple captain Haaland last week. And those of you that did got bang unlucky. And we're not going to go back around that narrative. That's a week old now, that narrative. But you were bang unlucky. And if you did hold on to Haaland for this week and you captained him this week, I think you can consider yourself again a bit unlucky to have captained him this week and not got anything.
What about if you also kept Foden?
Yes. That as well.
I consider myself bang unlucky again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, chances galore for him as well.
So all the chances that Foden keeps creating for Haaland as well. And it's like, come on, well, the points for the goal and the assist.
We are going to talk about City as a team. Obviously, we'll touch on Haaland and Foden and what we're going to do next. But we are going to talk about all the games as we usually do. We're going to get through it as quickly as possible, Sam. I know I say that every week, but we are going to do it as quickly as possible because big breaking hot off the press news, guys. You, Sam... I've hit the wild card in the last few hours.
No, I did it yesterday. I just didn't tell you.
Oh, okay, right. So,
I didn't tell anyone for 24 hours.
Mm.
And then I told you when I got back from Spurs.
So we will be discussing. In fact, a quick question, because I do want to spend a whole load of time talking about the wildcard. And you have pulled together a draft. Of course, we've got a slide on that, so we'll be talking about that a bit later on.
Yeah.
A lot of the general narrative was to go for it in 12 because a lot of the fixture swings. You've gone a week early. Reason for that?
Well, there was a couple of reasons. The first one was that there was a lot of price changes last week, and those price changes are only getting more and more significant. And I was kind of looking at my team thinking, if we see the same level of price jumps for the same players again heading into game week 11, which I think looks likely, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Salahs and the Cunhas and the Palmers are all going to be popular again, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in my head, I was like, I am just creating myself further headaches by waiting now, because the only thing that put me off doing it in 11 was the Arsenal-Chelsea game.
Mm.
I'll talk more about that when we get to my team and how I'm planning to navigate that fixture. Everything else, I was like, in reality, I do the same thing now as I will next week. And it just felt like it was an opportunity now to do it, to catch some price rises, which I've already done.
Of course, doing it last night. Yeah.
And some of those players, you know, I would expect to take a couple of price rises this week, to be honest.
And you're doing it from a position of relative strength because you've had a good game week. So we're going to discuss that a bit later on, and then we'll do a whole section on wildcard, etc. But interesting, you've gone slightly earlier against the sort of general FPL community narrative. So it is an interesting move, and I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. A couple of super chats already, Sam, coming in. One from Malachi Fox. Thank you, Malachi, for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're both well. We are doing well. Despite my FPL malaise, we're 2 points clear at the top of the league, so I cannot be upset. I cannot be on here being miserable tonight, because we are top of the league and we're playing very, very well.
And my striker remembered how to score goals.
And your striker remembered how to score goals. And you went to see him today in the flesh.
I tell you what.
And you had a good time.
I've been...
And you got on the big screen.
Twice. I tell you what. I am... Just as a little aside for a minute. One of my favourite things about being a mum is going to Spurs with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's great, isn't it?
I've been with her twice in the last 3 weeks. Obviously, I took her to the West Ham game.
She's getting into it, I'm telling you. She's getting more and more into it.
So today was Evie's 11th time at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Not bad for an eight-year-old.
11 wins.
No way.
11 wins.
No way, you're joking.
She's not watched us lose. She's never...
Or draw.
No. She's never...
been 11 times, 11 wins.
11 times.
Holy smokes.
11 wins.
Wow.
Max has watched one draw and one defeat. I think he's done 13 games and he's got one defeat and one draw. But she has never watched us lose. And it's become a thing now in the guys that sit around us in the South.
Yeah.
Are like, oh yes, Evie's.
Oh, she's here.
One of the guys, Rob, walked past me today and he went, yes, Evie's in.
Yeah.
He was like, guaranteed win.
Towards the end of the game, she was singing some Aston Villa songs as well.
The best thing today, there were two things that she did that I love today. We went 1-0 down and she went, don't worry, Mum, it's just going to be a repeat of West Ham. And then exactly the same thing happened again and I could not fathom it. My mum was texting us like, I can't believe she's called this.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, during the West Ham game, we were all singing, West Ham get battered everywhere they go. So we're all celebrating the fourth goal. And all of a sudden, we all sit back down and we just hear a little voice comes out. It's just Evie on her own. Villa get battered everywhere they go. And I was like, what?
This is my 8-year-old daughter, folks. It's my 8-year-old daughter turning into a Spurs hooligan.
Yes,
sorry,
Evie.
Villa fans. Sorry, Villa fans.
We actually did say to her, you know, actually Villa don't usually get battered. And she was like, just because we're great. Like, okay, Evie.
Well, there we go. Malachi, I didn't read out the whole super chat, so go back to that. Currently on 433k, Malachi, very good, with Wissa and Mbeumo to play. So looking for a Brentford win tomorrow, obviously, and plenty of goals. Solanke, surely the obvious captain choice for game week 11. How fickle we are as FPL managers.
Last week, everyone wanted to sell him.
3 weeks of zero XG, and everyone wanted to sell him. Suddenly, he's the top underlying BPS point scorer for this week with 71. Gets a 16-pointer. And now he's the obvious captain choice for game week 11. Absolutely crazy.
The one thing I would say is it's highly likely that Evie will be back in the South next weekend. So,
oh, she's going again, is she?
Use that. Unless Max's football match happens to be at a time that means I can still take him here.
All right.
Take from that what you will.
There you go.
11 wins from 11.
She's been 11 times. They've won 11 times and she's going again next week. Solanke owners. There we go. That's a bit of FPL family insider knowledge for you. Ken's Bromsgrove, thank you, Ken's, for the super chat. Evening, both. Hello, mate. Proper Carlsberg of a Premier League weekend. It was, wasn't it? It was. It genuinely was a proper, proper good weekend of football.
Do you know
no
what?
Doubt.
All games good as well. Like, I enjoyed I enjoyed Arsenal-Newcastle. Enjoyed watching that one.
Man U-Chelsea was a bit crap.
To be fair, I didn't see a lot of that one because the traffic getting home from Spurs was horrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, weirdly, really enjoyed Crystal Palace-Wolves last night. Randomly good game. It was exciting.
In the end, it was, yes.
Yeah, it was an exciting game, to be fair.
He says, I had Semenyo, nice.
Yeah, good.
And Aina, here we go, my favourite player of all time.
Rabina.
Ballon d'Or, if anything. On my bench, but still...
Oh, on the bench!
Oh, no, we're on the bench! Oh, sorry, Ken's. Bloody hell, I had Semenyo and Aina on the bench. Oh, mate.
It's a bench boost week.
Killer. But still had a green due to the Spurs game. Yeah, it feels like Spurs have turned a lot of maybe small reds or greys into greens this week, and I think Big Dom Solanke has got a lot to do with that. Before we get into let's get into the games, Sam. Let's get into the games and let's discuss. Let's go and do that straight away. He's on the thumbnail for a reason, Big Dom Solanke. 3 weeks of nothing but torture for his FPL owners with a combined 3 week XG of 0.1, I think it was. So lots of sales going into this week. What happened in this game? Why did he suddenly turn that round from the sort of zero XG into a 16-pointer and FPL? What was different about today?
Nothing.
Mm.
Honestly.
I thought you'd say that, and I tend to agree, you know.
There was
weird, isn't it?
There was honestly nothing different about Solanke's performance today. He was the same exceptional player that he was against Wolves. I can't talk for the Palace game. To be honest, I didn't watch it. I've blanked it from my memory, and I don't ever want to talk about it again. But
fair play.
He was the same as he was in that one, as he was in the League Cup. The same hard working all over the pitch, chasing every ball down. The only thing that was slightly different in this one is the way that Aston Villa tried to play out from the back. And they did play themselves into trouble quite a lot because he was just there every time, like all over the place. And I think it was one of those things that it was almost like a bit of a monkey that was sat there. I'll be honest, I think for the last couple of weeks, I think it was one of those that he was winning the ball a lot and then passing it to other people who were then taking the shots. So he wasn't really the one that was ending up in those positions. Whereas today, what tended to happen is he won the ball or forced a mistake and then the ball came back in towards him. And the little chip that he does...
Full of confidence, wasn't it?
Was
yeah, nice.
Yeah, and I
very
think,
good.
You know, he knows that he is appreciated. Like, there was a lot of appreciation in the crowd for him. Like, he wasn't getting any grief from the Spurs fans. Even if he hadn't scored today, everyone was chanting his name because he was playing so well. So
the bit that was the bit that impressed me the most was actually I watched you guys in midweek and he worked his socks off.
He was
almost limping around at the end, and as soon as the full-time whistle went, he sat on the floor and you could see he was shattered. But
it was the same again today.
Ange wheels him out and he goes again and he's like a Duracell bunny and he puts in a performance like that after playing, you know, a very, very, you know, what was obviously a very physically demanding game during the week.
Yes.
Superb. Superb.
And, I think
the finishes were very good indeed. And there's a few of you in the chat saying that he was very clinical and he had very few chances and took them. And I don't disagree with that. But equally, he was joint top with Haaland for shots this game week with 5. So it wasn't just the two shots, 2 goals. He'd have 5 shots. He was getting in amongst it.
Yeah, he was
a bit more.
It.
So, yeah, maybe the last 3 games was a bit of an anomaly. I don't really know.
I also think that the way that we set up today without Maddison there did mean that he had a bit more freedom in that attack because over the last couple of weeks with Maddison, Kulusevski, Brennan, whoever's been in the Sun position, whether it be Sun or Werner or towards the end of this game, Richarlison and Solanke, that was a lot of forward-thinking players in a short space. And so a lot of the time, Dom was dropping a bit deeper. Today, he didn't play Maddison. He started with Pap and he started with Bentancur. Now,
Saar, by the way.
Oh, he's a boy.
Saar, by the way. I'm not saying FPL, but he's making
There's
a Saar, big difference.
Boy.
Very, very good.
I think I agree with you, but I also think that makes a difference to Dom because it frees up a bit of space in the attack.
Okay.
Because there's less of them there. And I think
FPL wise, though, what are we saying? Because I think, you know, now we've got all the chat this week is completely different to as it would have been last week if we were here. Sell Solanke, I want to get rid of him. Now we've got people saying we should, you know, bring him in for Haaland and stuff. It's mad. I mean, if you look at the Spurs fixtures going forward. They continue. This is very small on my screen, guys. Obviously, it's Ipswich at home up next. Then it's that trip to the Etihad. Fulham at home in 13. And then Bournemouth, Chelsea and Southampton. So they are still continuing to be pretty good. Brennan chips in as well today.
Mm-hmm.
Son chips in with an assist, but then goes off early and doesn't look very happy about going off.
I also think, though, that there was a bit of a... Son has struggled with this injury. It was great against West Ham, but he did bring him off a bit early. Then he gets injured again, misses the Crystal Palace game and misses the League Cup game. Then he plays him today. I am absolutely not surprised that he brings him off today early, because when you're coming back from injury, the last thing that you need is to be rolled out for 90 minutes in a very physical, very fast pace. And it was fast. It was a fast game today.
But it's one all physical. Though. It's interesting for me that it was one all.
But I also think that it wasn't like he brought him off. And in the moment when he brings him off, he put Richarlison in there, who, by the way, he's so unlucky because he's done his hamstring again.
Mm.
But he's been playing really well the last couple of weeks since he's been coming back. It's a real shame for him. But I don't think... I think he looked at it and thought, it's not going to weaken my team putting Richarlison out there. And it didn't. He moved Kulusevski a little bit. He moved Richarlison out wide. He had this really nice setup where it didn't make us worse to take Son off. And I think if you're Ange, you're watching the game, that's exactly what he was looking at. And then obviously Morgan Rogers goes off and that opens up the game even further from a Spurs perspective.
Well, even that was an interesting one, wasn't it? Because I thought that there was two substitutions that really changed the mood in the game. One was the Sun one. And I agree with you. I think Richarlison come on. And I think when Matty Cash went off as well, they lacked a bit of balance at the back. And I thought Richarlison come on and was more direct. I think Ange almost brought him on with and said to him, just run at that back four because they can't handle it.
And
it'll cause chaos. Kulu will pick it up in the middle and he gets the assist for the Solanke goal, right? So I agree with you, Richarlison come on and made a difference. In fact, when he went off injured, I thought Mikey Moore did okay, but sort of struggled with the pace of the game. And he's not as direct as Richarlison, obviously. So that was a game changer. But the Morgan Rogers substitution was an interesting one for me as well, because I thought the battle between him and Sarr in midfield was brilliant, by the way. What a battle of football that was.
Well, Morgan Rogers was fuming. He was furious. But he goes down.
That's weird, isn't it? Because he sort of felt like he had a bit of an injury.
He goes down and it looks like he's injured. I thought he was injured.
Me too.
So he goes down.
Oh, so did Emery.
Emery, I think. Yeah, he goes down. He's down for ages as well. Like, that went on for ages, that injury.
And maybe Emery's thinking, you know, big Champions League game coming up. We're sitting pretty there. I can't afford to be without him.
And I think at the time when he goes off, you know, we're not 4-1 up at that point. The game is still in the balance. And I think he's probably looking at it going, we can't afford to carry a passenger and I can't risk you for the Champions League and the fixtures that Villa have coming up because they got you next. So it's not like...
They imploded after it went off. That tells you everything. And that's one of the reasons I will be sticking with Rodgers
foreseeable
and FPL, because I just think he's not only is he picking up goals and assists and everything else, but he's so important
to
that side
right
now.
I'm sure that there was a stat. I'm going to look for it while you're talking in a minute, but I'm sure that I saw a stat earlier that was all about how... Oh, I'm not going to be able to find it quickly, but I'll try and find it as the stream goes on, about how he is the best budget... Oh, I'm not going to be able to find it quickly. Here you go. Morgan Rogers has been the best value midfielder or forward in fantasy over the last 6 weeks. He's got a team leading 36 points in that time, which means he's returning 6.7 points per million you have to spend on him. Now, if you're talking about...
He's great, I think.
I just honestly think that... I know that on wildcard, and it's one of the things that I'm having to kind of consider at the moment, it's hugely tempting to go for a midfield of Salah, Saka, Palmer, Son, or maybe Brennan.
Yeah, Son on wildcard? No.
Well, but it's hugely tempting to go for... You could go Brennan instead or Kulu instead. But it's hugely tempting to go for quite a premium-looking midfield and just really pack it, particularly because the forwards are so cheap and reasonable right now. And there's a lot of value at the back with your mate Aina and with Ait Nouri and...
My mate Aina.
You know, all of those guys, right? So it's hugely tempting to do it. But then I look at Morgan Rogers. There is absolutely nothing you could pay me to make me take Morgan Rogers out of my team. When he goes off, first of all, I love the reaction. I'm off the pitch.
Yeah.
He's waiting to come back on the pitch. He realises it's his number and he rages. It's like it's a rage.
Yeah.
And he's not happy. But I think Emery thinks he is injured. I don't think he is injured because he was really ready to come back on.
And what about Ollie Watkins then? Missed a couple of sitters, didn't he? So no panic, I don't think. When you look at the Villa fixtures, obviously it's that Anfield trip next.
Would you say no panic?
I would say no panic, because Liverpool next, but then it's Palace. Chelsea away is obviously difficult. Brentford at home, Southampton at home. There's three pretty nice home games there. The trouble is the cost, isn't it?
I think there is a panic, because he's 9 million.
Yeah, that is the problem.
If he was 6 million and he's sitting in the bracket alongside Chris Wood and Jimenez and Cunha and Visser, if he's in there, then I think you're thinking about it. But even then, I think you sell.
Yeah, George is in the chat. Hey, George, he's saying, I'm selling Watkins. Yeah, it's...
I have.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that on your wild card. That was going to be a big question I had, was whether you're going to keep him or not. And I can see why.
It's just too much money.
Yeah, he is going to be a bit pricey. Some of you guys are saying the stream's a bit laggy. I think it's coming back. Tell me, guys, if it's not great. I can see on the OBS that it's a bit laggy and a bit jumpy, but maybe I need to reset the router or something here. But I think it's back. I think it's okay. Let's move on to the next game, though, Sam. So, good result for Spurs. Very, very good result indeed. Not too much panic for me on Aston Villa, but let's move on.
And you still got Brennan, right?
I've still got Brennan, and he came in good for me today. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. In fact, you know, got to when that game was 1-0.
He was really unlucky to only get one.
Well, yeah. When that game was at 1-0, my game wasn't looking too bad because I had Rodgers and I had Brennan.
Yeah.
And then Solanke decided to ruin it all because I don't have him. let's talk about the two defeats then. Newcastle and Arsenal in a minute, but Bournemouth 2, Manchester City 1. What's going on at City? I know they've got a lot of injuries and, you know, Pep's talking about them not having, you know, match fitness and all the rest of it. But... was it a shock for you, this one? And the reason I asked that question is because we did Sky on Saturday morning, didn't we, for those of you that watched us? And we're walking out back to the car with Mark, who's the producer of the show. And you, both of you, said, you know, City will find a way to win that today. And I went, I'm not sure they will.
No, you were very convinced.
I think that's a very, very difficult game for them at Bournemouth, and so it proves.
Yeah, difficult game. You were very convinced. I don't think that Pep can... use the injury crisis thing, actually, because I thought at one point he did have an injury crisis, but then he's got Kyle Walker back, he's got KDB. Like, there's players available to him again. Now, all right, they aren't match fit, and you ideally don't want to bring them on for 90 minutes, and I get all of that. I totally get it. But the team that he sent out against Bournemouth this weekend should have had enough in them to beat Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they didn't is really interesting.
I think you're doing Bournemouth a bit of a disservice there.
But on paper, the team that City put out should have had enough to beat that Bournemouth team. Now, that Bournemouth team is playing incredibly well this season. They look much, much better than maybe they ever have. Maybe than I've ever seen Bournemouth play consistently. They've never been a consistent force, have they, Bournemouth, since they've been in the Premier League? Always enough to survive, but never enough to really challenge. But this season... it's different and they're looking really, really good. But still, they're the champions. And you would expect that Man City would have had enough with the players that they had on that pitch to get something out of the game. And they created plenty of opportunities.
Well, like we said before, wasteful. Yeah, Haaland top with Solanke for shots this week. Also top for XG underachievers with minus 0.88 Delta Haaland. And Foden top for crosses this week. Matthias Nunes... third for touches in the opponent's half, and also Matthias Nunes top for chances created with 5 this game week. So yeah, lots of chances created, lots of crosses from Foden, plenty of XG from Haaland. But you know, Bournemouth did a job on him, and I have to say, every time I watch Semenyo play,
he's great, isn't he?
He just gets better and better, and I feel like Evan Nilsson is starting to come to the fore a little bit as well. And he took his goal so well, but it's Semenyo really. If you're going to go into Bournemouth. He's the talent. He's becoming pretty talismanic for them right now that Dom's not there.
Yes, but also I have the issue I have with Semenyo is that the midfield five is so important, and I think Morgan Rodgers has the fifth midfielder slot sewn up. That's his spot.
Mm.
So who are you sacrificing to have Semenyo? Like, it is quite tough to know where you would go, but I think. The Bournemouth fixtures, they've had a horrible couple, haven't they? But are we starting? Are we at the back end of that now? Where are they going?
The Bournemouth fixtures going forward, they are second in the ticker over the next six, right? So Brentford away next, which on paper is a difficult game, and it is a difficult game, but they don't keep clean sheets.
They don't keep clean sheets.
Brighton at home, which will be, you know, Bournemouth and Brighton's high lines. It's basically just going to be played in the centre circle, that game. Wolves away, Spurs at home, Ipswich and West Ham. So no reason to sell Semenya if you've got him.
All defences that will concede.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah. You think so. No doubt about it.
I don't, but would you buy? Given all the priorities and all of that stuff that you're talking about, I could understand, because there was a lot of managers last week, a lot of good managers, content creators, who did Semenya out for Salah and Haaland out for Cunha or somebody like that. Now, obviously Salah scores and he outscores Haaland and there's that whole conversation to be had. But Semenya has been sacrificed now by a lot of managers. I don't think you'd go back there.
I think, given those fixtures, just flick back to the fixtures, given those fixtures and given the Villa fixtures, if I were wildcarding this week...
There's no way you'd take Morgan Rodgers out.
I'd be tempted Semenya over
Rodgers.
No, you
wouldn't.
Because my midfield would probably be Salah, Palmer, Saka and Bueno, and then one of them. And it would be close. It would be close.
I don't think it is close.
What with Europe as well? And no Europe for Bournemouth. I'd be very tempted with Semenya, you know. I would not hate it. But it's close. It's a difficult decision.
Semenya's more expensive, though.
Is he? Right, okay.
I think so, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think Semenya is.
Probably. Let's talk about... we've got still a bit more to do about Man City. Because we do have to talk about... I mean, you've got Foden. I'm assuming he's not making it in the wild card. No. And then what else have we got? Haaland? I'm assuming he's not making it in the wild card either. So who are you going in with? Are you going to keep Vardy at the back?
I think so.
Okay, fine.
I think so. The my full plan was not on wild card to have any Manchester City.
However, doing his usual touches in the box as well. Guardiola this week, I noticed. So he's up there. He's third most touches in the opponent's half. He does it every week. Vardy.
And Pep's back with him being the attacking defender now.
That so feels like that's more of a thing again.
We went, it wasn't, it was Rico Lewis. Mm. Then Rico Lewis is undroppable. He can't be benched. We've got no one else. Then he benches him. But lately in the last 3-4 weeks, Guardiola's been the one that has been the more attacking threat from their Man City defence.
Do you think Rico comes back in next week though?
I think so, because I think
he has to. Walker's cooked.
Well,
he's done.
But Walker's not fit. He said that in the after match. He said, "I'm not fit."
Like, do you think he's protecting him?
Who, Rico Lewis?
No. Do you think Pep saying Walker's not fit?
No, Walker said he wasn't fit. I don't know what Pep said.
Or do you think
he's
protected himself then?
No, I think Pep protected Rico Lewis. Because I think Rico Lewis...
I think this Walker's not fit narrative is not true. I think he's fit and he's just not good enough anymore. He's lost a yard of pace.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But what I do know is I think he gave Rico Lewis a rest at the weekend because Carl Walker was back from his injury, but clearly not match fit. And he was a problem. He was getting beaten left, right and centre. So do I think Rico Lewis comes back in? Yes. But would I risk him on wildcard? No.
But the reason I ask you about the Rico Lewis thing is if it's Walker and Vardiol, I love having Vardiol. If it's Rico and Vardiol, I love having Rico. Do you see what I mean? Like Vardiol, when Walker plays, Vardiol's amazing.
But I think that there will always be the Walker there. That will always be the case. I just don't think he's going to consistently... And I've been saying this all season and I have been a bit wrong about it. However,
he can't play wing back anymore. PSV saying in the chat can't play wing back.
But
I
he doesn't have to play wing back because that's
where
why.
Where's he going to play then,
Walker? He plays him in that position, but he's not running the wing anymore. He's doing he stays further back, and Vardiol goes on the other side, which is what makes Vardiol so attractive. I personally won't go for Rico Lewis because what happened this week. I feel like that's going to happen more and more regularly over the course of this season. Whether it be that he might play in midfield, but then as people start coming back from injury, what does that mean for that midfield slot and who's playing where? I just feel like Man City, you have to pay a premium for them. Even Foden, you're paying a premium price tag for these players.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the moment, maybe except for Mateus Nunes, at the moment... They're not worth that premium price tag because you can go for if you take Haaland out, because at the moment in my team right now, Haaland and Foden were my premium assets alongside Trent and Gvardiol. But if you're prepared to not have Haaland, then you can build a midfield that has Salah, Palmer, Saka.
You can.
You can build one that... You can even fit a Bruno Fernandes in there if you wanted to. Right, okay. If you wanted to.
If you wanted to.
I mean, yeah. You probably don't. But if you did, you could. And I think that's the point.
Let's just review those City fixtures then. Away to Brighton, which is... It's a tricky-looking fixture on paper, isn't it? And then Spurs at home. Liverpool away then they in 13, which is the big one. Yeah, City don't usually travel well to you lot, do they?
But, no, but we've got to go there.
You've got to go to the Etihad. Forest at home, which, given the way they're playing, suddenly not easy, is it? Even though it's at the Etihad. Palace away and then the Manchester Derby in 16. So you can... I can see why there's a general move away from City. I can see it. I can see it. But it is still City. They will still, I think, find a way... To win games and come back from this.
But it's not about that. If you sell Haaland or you sell Palmer or you sell whoever, it's not about you saying, I think that they aren't going to be a good asset.
Mm.
It's about you saying, this is my pot of money and this is how much I think it's worth spending on you. Doesn't mean I think Haaland is going to not score again this season.
Mm.
It just means that I can have Salah and Palmer instead.
Mm.
And if I have Salah and Palmer and Saka, do I think that those three will outscore having maybe Haaland and Son?
Mm. Well, this is the kind of narrative that I was spinning on the Ohana for our patrons on Thursday, wasn't it?
When you were trying to get me to wildcard last week.
When I was trying to get you to wildcard last week, because I think, I am playing this season and have always played FPL to obviously chase the points. Obviously, you want to go for the players that score the most points, clearly. Yes. But I wonder whether there's almost a bit of, you know, rather than trying to maximise points, trying to minimise pain was, I think, the phrase that I used on Thursday, which is, at the moment, all the premiums that you've got are good and all the premiums are good. All the premiums are good. Yeah. In fact, there's a lot of not premium assets that are good as well. There's a lot of really, really good assets.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's no template. And because of the fact that FPL priced the game so well in game week one, we've got a hell of a game this season. It's a hell of a game. I, for one, am finding it bloody difficult.
It's hard.
Right? But all the premiums are doing well. So in a world where there are so many good premiums and there is so many good cheap options... You just get as many premiums as you can, don't you, to minimise the pain. You appreciate that. You almost accept that there will be pain. You will have pain, but just minimise the amount you have. So, and by having Haaland, you are not minimising the pain because you're putting so many chips and so much of your money into one asset. To your point, okay, you take that away. We're not saying that Haaland's never going to score again because he will, and you will feel pain from Haaland at some stage.
Of course,
but you are minimising the pain you'll get from the other premiums by having Salah, Saka and Palmer in midfield.
At the moment, with my current team, before I hit the wildcard button, I didn't have a Liverpool attacker because I had to sell Joss because he got injured. I didn't have an Arsenal attacker because I had too many problems and I had to get rid of Saka because I didn't know for sure whether he was going to start or not. I didn't have a Chelsea attacker and I haven't had one of them all season. And so every time Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea played, it was like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously then I had two Man City attackers, which should on paper have been great. But every time we went to Man City, it was like, oh, have they missed that? Oh. And then they go, oh, let's go to Anfield. That's Salah again. It's like, oh, for God's sake. Oh, it's Palmer again. And I think you're right. I think, for me, that's been really difficult. And that's why I don't ever really like to double up on teams. I like to just have one because it does mean that you can spread yourself across all of the teams that are performing well. Now, that's why I'm going to keep Gvardiol, because at least then I've got somebody who currently is an attacking asset in that Man City team and I'll still keep him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it's painful. And whatever you do, it's painful. You're going to miss out on someone. It's just how many you have to miss out on to make the rest of the team work.
Yeah, there's a few people in the chat saying, say pain again, Lee. You said pain. I didn't realise how many times I said pain, but I had. Thank you, Azzy, for the super chat. I haven't owned Salah all season, only one red arrow. Yeah, there is so many different ways to play the game this season. Yeah. So many different ways to play the game. I don't remember too many content creators, us including, using the word template much this season.
But there isn't one at the moment.
And what the way that I usually play the first few weeks of FPL is that I try and align to a template. I play very risk averse to start with, and I just fiddle about with some differentials on the edges, but I will keep largely to the template so I don't fall too far behind. And then in the second half of the season, I'll start to try and attack it. That's how I play the game typically in the season. I'm boring to start with. But there hasn't been a template. So there's been nothing to... There's nothing been nothing to gather around, right? It's been... There has been no template to sort of play safe with. So therefore, I'm down in the 2 million bracket. It's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Yeah.
Guys, apologies for the stream tonight. It is proper, proper crap with the I think it's because I'm using Google Chrome rather than my tried and tested Safari settings. So,
why did you go on Chrome? Just for a change.
I don't know. It was set up in there. So I just continued in there. I don't know why. It hasn't been bad like this for a few weeks. But if the audio goes or the video goes or you get it, or it stalls or whatever, guys, then either stick with it if you can or just hit the refresh on your browser. It should be fine. If we keep having issues, then I will refresh the stream. But at the moment, it seems to be sort of okay. So thanks for putting up with all of that nonsense. Let's move on, Sam, to some of the other games. Let's talk about the other upset, if you want to call it that, over the weekend. Cast your mind back to lunchtime. Newcastle
1,
Arsenal 0. Yeah, again, we're expecting Arsenal to go there on the back of Newcastle not winning in 5 games, but not to be, right? Not to be.
No, and actually Newcastle played really well. Now, I think the other thing is that Newcastle have been without some of their big players as well. Obviously, they missed out. We didn't have Gordon for a while, they didn't have Isak for a while, they're still without Callum Wilson. I'm not sure Callum Wilson's ever coming back.
Mm.
And defensively, like, we were driving back from Sky, weren't we, when the team sheet came out, and you read out the team, and we both went, well, that defence sounds a bit gettable.
From a Newcastle perspective.
But actually, Livramento and Lewis Hall were phenomenal. They played so well, and particularly Lewis Hall completely nullified Saka for large chunks of that game. Like, I can't remember Saka like really, really threatening the way that he normally would.
There was a very good pass map though that I think I shared on Twitter, and if you've not seen it, go check it out, guys. And it's basically just shows an Arsenal completed and non-completed pass map.
Mm.
And there's a load of green arrows going from the middle of the pitch to the outside of the
pitch. It looks like angel wings, doesn't it?
It looks like a proper V shape, right? And there's the odd one obviously that's going across, but the quote that came with it to the guy that posted it on Twitter was, tell me you're missing Odegaard without telling me you're missing Odegaard, yeah, if that makes sense. Because they just kept going like that, didn't they? Trying to use the wings because that's where their danger players are. But if Odegaard's there, you get a bit more variety in the way you play. And the problem with lacking variety is it becomes predictable.
Yeah.
So if Lewis Hall knows that Saka's going to receive it in certain areas of the pitch, and he knows, and I agree with you, he played very, very well, Lewis Hall. But if that's happened, if the same thing's happening over and over again, the same pattern of play, and Saka always tries to beat him on the outside or is always trying to do the same thing, it becomes easier to defend, right? I'm not saying it was easy for him, but it becomes easier. And Newcastle nullified it completely.
Yeah, but I just thought, I was impressed with Newcastle. I thought they played well. I do think, I mean, clearly Arsenal miss Odegaard. I don't think that is up for debate. I think there were some poor performances though. Trossard in particular, I thought was...
He's a good impact sub, but I'm not sure about him in the starting.
I'm not either. Anyway. Havertz has dipped as well. Like, if you've got Havertz, he's definitely on a bit of a dip at the moment. All of that said, though, I still think that an Arsenal defender, even without a clean sheet in a few weeks, I still think that an Arsenal defender is important. And I still think that Saka is an important own.
Well, from 12 onwards, obviously Chelsea away in 11, which I am interested to see how you're going to navigate that with your wildcard picks. But Forest, West Ham, Man U, Fulham, Everton.
Mm.
Yeah, I still think you want some Arsenal cover from there.
I agree.
They're still a top side, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't think there's any reason to get off.
Newcastle, after. Anything to talk about there? Unbelievable cross from Anthony Gordon. And Isak got brilliantly positioned himself between
the
two centre-halves, didn't he? And I think you're right. Probably three since he's come back from injury. So you know, we're all talking about Cunha, Wood and Raul Jimenez and all the cheapies, but he's up there, isn't he?
But the problem is he's that bit more expensive than the others. And I think the part of the issue is that in the forward line right now, because you've only got the three spots, and obviously we haven't seen Wisser and we haven't seen Jimenez this week yet, but you've got those two, plus you've got the likes of Cunha, plus you've got the slightly more expensive ones in Wood, or I think he's 6.4, in Wood, Solanke, who's in the 7.5 bracket. Like, there are a number of cheaper forwards, arguably, that you would invest in before you do Isak. I think he's a bit of a casualty of his price point because, you know, we're all talking about taking some money out of our forward line. But I do think that Isak is one of those assets that, right now, if you said to me, pick between Watkins and Isak, I'd pick Isak.
Isak. All right. All right, let's move it on. Let's talk about... we've got to talk about Chris Wood at some stage, haven't we? So we might as well do it now.
That man annoys me.
What
is going on? Why does Chris Wood peak now?
I almost refuse to get him. I just can't... I can't believe it's going to continue. But it does. It's... I remember Az and Mark talking about it on Black Box last week, and they made some really good comments about the fact that he is... I think Az made some sort of like tongue-in-cheek comparison between Wood and Haaland. And I remember sitting there listening to it going, has he gone mad here, Az, Wood and Haaland? But what he was saying was actually both strikers are there just to be fed. Just feed them. They're not involved in the game in any way. They are nowhere near as hard-working as a Dominic Solanke in getting involved with the game and, and bringing in the wingers or anything like that. Not being told to.
No, it's not their
just
job.
Just get in the box and bloody score goals. And you know what? Chris Wood is getting in the box and he's just bloody scoring goals.
They're third
for
in
an
the
FPO
league.
Asset like that, I mean, yeah, mad, isn't it? It's mad.
Third.
And if you think about the fixtures that are coming up, now they do in the medium term get a little bit more difficult for Forest. It's Newcastle at home up next, then Arsenal away, obviously difficult, Ipswich at home, before it's then the two Manchester sides and Aston Villa. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got him...
But their defence is great as well, Lee.
Well, we'll talk about defence in a minute, but from a forward perspective, you ain't selling him ahead of Newcastle and Ipswich coming up in two of the next three.
No, but my point is that I think with Wood, is that because their defence is good, he's only got to get one, and... They're not winning games by like huge numbers generally. So he gets one and he's getting all the bonus points as well. Like he's a bit of a bonus point magnet for somebody that's not getting...
How is the defence being good for Wood getting bonus? Well, because if they were conceding one every week, then fair enough.
No, but because they're not really conceding that many goals, they only need to score one to win the games. That I think that's the point I'm making. So they're not having to... Like with Spurs, we know they're going to concede every week. They've got to go out there and score at least two to win the game. So they're constantly attacked. Whereas with Nottingham Forest, their system is just working incredibly well. They're a really, really good team and they're playing together really nicely. The defence looks good. And Chris Wood is just... Oh, it's infuriating to watch because actually every week I think he can't hurt me again.
Yeah, well,
and
as Azzy is saying, thank you for the comment, Azzy Smith, 1986. Last week, Wood did nothing in the first half, and the second half he just turned it on.
Yeah,
that's how it goes, mate. That's how it goes with him. He's like Haaland. He doesn't have many touches. He's not involved. He doesn't even have to break much of a sweat.
It's annoying.
But positionally, he is superb, and they know where he's going to be, and they'll give it him. And now that Morgan Gibbs-White is back, they've got another creative player to feed him.
And they've got Aina, who, you know, loves Rabina and scores worldies.
He's mad, isn't it? I think if you've got him, you hold. I mean, don't even think about selling him. Buying, though, would you?
I mean, I bought him yesterday on the basis that he was about to take a price rise, and I think I might get two out of him this week. Because I genuinely think, I'm not going to hold, we'll talk about my wild card in a minute. He won't be there when I finish my wild card. It will be another, here you go with your word, pain that I will suffer because I'm not going to keep him. Because I think that closes.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Andrew Griffiths, thank you for the comment. If you don't own Wood yet, you're not watching football. Mate, I don't own him. I am watching the football and I'm getting very jealous of people that have got him. He's been very, very good indeed. But I probably am not going to buy him. Teams to target, though, West Ham, absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible, West Ham.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but Calvin Phillips has let you all down there by getting sent off. It's just not good enough, is it? No. It's just not good enough. Not Calvin Phillips, Alvarez getting sent off. Yeah, not good enough. So that is all I'm going to say about West Ham. Let's talk about Liverpool 2, Brighton 1. Let's rattle through the rest of these games, Sam, because I do want to talk about your wild card. Mo Salah does it again. So if you did the Haaland to Salah switch this week, well done. Gakpo coming in with a goal, which was a little bit fortuitous, to say the least. It definitely was a cross, and he even said it in the in his post-match, didn't he? He definitely didn't mean it. It was a cross. But, you know, Liverpool going a goal down, no panic, come back. 2-1, turn it around in about 3 months. Three minutes. It was good.
I don't think you can sit there and say you weren't panicked. You were stressed.
I think in the sort of 5 or 10 minutes before Gakpo scored, I think I was, yeah. But no, I don't think when Kadioglu scored, I don't think I was particularly stressed, no.
Okay.
Okay, if you say I was, then...
You were a bit stressed. Because you just watched Arsenal drop points, Man City were dropping points, and you weren't winning the game. And I think you were just like, this is such an opportunity. And it was a bit stressful. And then you, Salah bangs, and then you were fine. And Salah's just won, isn't he? Like, was it another double digit? Did he get more than... I didn't look at him. Did he get more than 10? Probably. Did he get bonus?
Liverpool 2, Brighton 1. Then I don't know how much you guys heard of what we were talking about, but you were saying I was stressed when the Brighton goal went in. Yeah, I guess I was a bit. From an FPL perspective, though, who have you got in your current team? And don't talk too much about your wild card, but, you know, currently going into this game week, who did you have? You had Trent, right? So did I.
Just Trent. Yeah. Because I had to get rid of Jota when he got injured.
Correct. There was a stat that I looked at as well, just as I was coming on. I saw in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, which I use when I'm doing the prep for this stream, guys. Always have a look at the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Check it out if you've got a Fantasy Football Scout membership. And if you haven't, there's a link in the description below to go and sign up. Trent, top for tackles this game week with 12. To put that into perspective, the next best was Mazraoui with 7 or 8. I think that's 8. So Trent, tackling like a maniac, he's doing, in this Arne Slot system, far too much defending for my liking, from an FPL perspective. He's not doing the attacking things, Sam. He's doing all the defending things.
I mean, he is a defender, Lee, though, so, you know.
He hasn't been, though, has he? He hasn't been. That's why we pay 7 million for him, because we want assists, we want, you know, goals from corners, we want direct free kicks. That's what we want, but we're not getting it.
And Liverpool aren't keeping clean sheets. So... it's all very well. If he was doing all this defensive stuff and getting 6 points every week because he was getting a clean sheet.
And has been, to be fair, up until fairly recently.
Yeah, but they've stopped. And you say fairly recently. What, we haven't had one in the last 4, have we?
Don't think so, no.
So really, that's, you know, a month without any clean sheets. It's not really that recently. And I look at the fixtures that you have coming up, and I look at the defence and the way that you're playing, and I'm like, I don't think that there's going to be clean sheets for a little bit.
Mm.
And
Aston Villa at home, Southampton away up next in the next 2. You can't sell him ahead of them 2, can you?
I am.
Ooh, okay.
Aston Villa will score against you.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Southampton won't, although they did win this weekend. But they won't. I don't think they'll score. But I just don't think you can pay 7 million. When you look at the midfielders and the forwards that are less than 7 million and how many points they're returning every week, there is no value in Trent right now.
Well, the one thing I will say, and it's only because I watch us so closely, that actually the goals that we have conceded in games, in Premier League games recently, have either been, you know, a gnat's whisker from being offside because it's like Konate's outstretched boot or something like that, or they've been worldy goals. Like Kadioglu's was another worldy goal, wasn't it? I think it's a great goal.
It was a great goal.
I'm not. They can happen. Of course they can. But I still back us to get clean sheets. I'm not. You know, given that we're in a Champions League week and Villa have got a Champions League game in midweek, I'm not sure they'll come to Anfield and score.
All right. So answer me this then: is Trent currently worth 7 million when you could get Van Dijk for cheaper? Or even eventually Alisson for cheaper when he's back from injury?
No, I don't think they are. But ahead of Villa and Southampton, I mean, if you want to sell Trent in 13, not got a problem with it. Because it's then City and Newcastle away, then it's the Merseyside derby, anything can happen.
But if you're on a wild card, you're not buying Trent. You might get Van Dijk, but you're not getting Trent.
Yeah, sure. If you're on a wild card, absolutely.
What about Robbo?
No, absolutely not. Why would you do Robbo?
No, I'm not saying you would. I'm saying, what about Robbo? Like, because that, I think this is the thing for me, is that the Liverpool back line, is changing in terms of how it's set up, but also in terms of what's being asked of it from Klopp's days to Slot's days. And one of the things under Klopp is that you were always very good defensively. You could always try, if you were fully fit, Alisson, and you know, everyone's fully fit, you were good defensively. I don't think that you are so good defensively. I don't think you're bad, but I don't think you are so good defensively under Slot. But I think that's because he's asking slightly different things of the players, and he's working out who his best performances are. And obviously, Konate goes down in this one. We thought it was a broken arm. Don't think it is a broken arm, I think you said earlier, but...
No, he's come out on Instagram and said that he's all right and he should be back for the next game. So don't, for whatever you're thinking, do not go out and buy either Gomez or definitely not Jarrell Kwanzaa.
Might need to change my wild card.
Don't buy Jarrell Kwanzaa. He'd be very... there will be people looking at him going, he's 4 million now. He's going to play. No, he won't. He'd probably put Gomez there if... For midweek, I'd be surprised if Konate plays in the Champions League. He'll put Gomez in, probably. Or maybe Kwanzaa, because it's Champions League and we're in a good position. But if Konate... I'd be surprised if Konate doesn't come back in for the Villa game. And if he's not available, I expect it to be Gomez. It's Gomez that come on at the weekend.
Yeah, and obviously on the other side with Robbo, you've got the Tsimikas rotation potential threat now there as well. So if you have Robbo, I think he's also quite an easy sell.
I'm putting... And it's with a heavy heart that I say this, but I'm starting to put Robbo in the Kyle Walker bracket. He's starting to look a little bit cooked. And it was very evident when Bukayo Saka absolutely roasted him at the Emirates last week. So I hate saying that because he's one of my favourite ever. He's a legend because he's won it all for us. And by the way, that's not me saying that Tsimikas is a better alternative, because Tsimikas is not a better alternative. Notice how Kadioglu, that goal comes down to Tsimikas' side. Why? Because he's out of position.
But he's great.
Positionally, one of the worst defenders in the Premier League, Tsimikas.
Oh, but what a nice man.
Great on YouTube. Don't get me wrong. Wonderful on YouTube. But on the pitch, don't rate him at all, Tsimikas. Still would have Robbo. But we need a left back, I think. That's one of the things Slot's got to do, I think, is go and find a new left back. To Adam, Shane Bradley isn't left-footed. Yeah, you're not wrong, mate. I'd love to have Bradley on that side. Tsimikas is average, Andrew Griffiths is saying. Mate, you're being generous there.
Tsimikas is a legend.
Ken's Bromsgrove, thank you, Ken's, for the super chat. Robertson looks like he's lost his place. He's been poor. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think he's changed. I think he's cooked, mate.
But all of this is another reason why I wouldn't go with the Liverpool defender.
I think for the next two, if you've got Trent, you're not wildcarding. I've got him. I'll be holding him for the next two. I disagree with you. I think defensively we've been much better this season than we ever have under Klopp, because we control games much better. And the goals, if you go back and individually analyse them, each of them that we've conceded in the last four game weeks, they've either been a gnat's pubic hair away from being offside, or they've been worldy goals. Worldy goals, like Kadioglu's. So it won't happen every week. I think Trent is a fine hold for the next couple of weeks, unless you want to sell him to do something with that money, and then I don't mind it. One or two more games, Sam, because we're running out of time. Not that one. I want that one. What games do you want to discuss?
Haven't we done most of them?
Probably. We do need to do Wolves, though, don't we, really? We've got to do Wolves, because they're everyone's wild card into Wolves, aren't they? I mean, it's Ryan Aitnori in, despite him not getting anything this week. Couldn't you get the assist this week?
Ryan Aitnori might as well just set up a tent in the forward position and stay there.
Because Siddharth, is pubic hair thinner than the rest? I don't know why I said it. I don't know.
It was such a weird thing. It's why I gave a weird reaction. It was a weird comment.
I'm trying to say coherent stuff. I'm trying to make sure that the stream doesn't bloody crash again. I'm trying to change all the slides and everything else. And I've had a bad game. Leave me alone.
I think that's thicker. But anyway, that's not the point. I've lost the plot now. Ryan Aitnori. He was so attacking in this game. He could have and should have got returns in this one. And if you don't have him, you should find a way to have him. And if you have Trent, I would sell Trent for him.
Sure. Not for the next couple of weeks, in my opinion, but go for it if you want to go for it. Matthias Cunha, if he's not in your wildcard draft, I will be surprised.
I like Cunha a lot. I like Cunha. But the problem I have is I like Cunha. I like Wissa. Big Dom's just gone, hey, Sam, you can't sell me. So he's in the conversation. Chris Wood, he's in the conversation. Jimenez. I love Jimenez. He's in a conversation. We'll, more on Wisser and Jimenez tomorrow, though, because obviously we don't see them until tomorrow. There's five or six.
The thing I will say about Cunha and Aitnori and the others, though, is that Wolves will have expected to win this game. The Wolves fans will have expected to win this game. And up until...
We did, though, no?
Yeah, yeah. And up until this game, I think the Wolves fans have given O'Neill and the players a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of the fixtures they've had.
Yeah.
But this is the game where they'd have gone, right, we're definitely going to win this. And I've just noticed a little bit of...
What?
Anti-O'Neill on what? Wolves fans' Twitter. They absolutely want... I expected them to fully win this game. No doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes any of their picks bad in FPL because, as we've said a million times, right, they're top of the ticker. It's Southampton at home next. Then it's Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich. It's an unbelievable run. Get Aitnori, get Cunha. But I'm telling you, unless that is a convincing home win against Southampton, which I think it will be, but if it's not, there will be a bit of O'Neill out.
Wow.
More than a bit of O'Neill out, in my opinion, because then it's Fulham away in 12. It's suddenly a very, very high-pressure game. Very high pressure game, but I do expect them to beat Southampton at home in 11. So whoever you've got an Aitnori. If you've got Cunha, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be bringing in Cunha for this week because I think you've done him a disservice there. You said you quite like him; he's a good player. I think he is a class player.
No,
he is a class player.
That I agree. That wasn't a negative comment about Cunha. It was more of a comment about how you said something about I'll be highly surprised if you don't have him on wildcard. So would I. But I also think that there are a number of other players in the same price bracket who also put in their hands up to be picked as well. I think doubling up on Wolves makes sense. I think tripling up on Wolves makes sense. I think the issue with tripling up on Wolves is I'm not really sure who the third one would be.
I wouldn't be tripling up on Wolves. Would you be tripling up on Wolves?
Well, we had this conversation. Didn't...
Not suddenly Barcelona. Well... bottom of the league.
No, that's true. We also had this conversation on the way down to Sky on Saturday morning because I was faffing. Because Dwight McNeil, I was like, you know, he's only been with a physio. He's not going to play. Fardio doesn't play or blah, 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 blah. Anyway, in the end, I was like, oh, I'm going to just sell McNeil because I don't trust Everton anyway. And one of the things I looked at when I was trying to get rid of McNeil was, right, I'll get a Wolves midfielder.
Yeah.
There's not one I would want to own.
Should have gone Joao Gomez, shouldn't you?
Well, I should, yeah. And we should have got him in sleeper as well. But when you looked at the data behind Joao Gomez, there's nothing to suggest that he was going to do anything this week.
The interesting one for me is if Southampton... If Southampton score first in that game next game week... If Southampton score first at Molineux, I think there is going to be some trouble. I think O'Neill could be in big trouble.
Southampton won't score first.
Well, Palace scored first in this game and the crowd were booing. They are getting to get restless very quickly. Yeah, but Lee, they've been very patient for 10 weeks. Now they expect wins.
But Southampton are terrible.
They are. I don't disagree, but I'm just saying it will get very uncomfortable very quickly unless they get off the mark quickly in that game. That's it. There's Man U Chelsea. Let's do that. Man U Chelsea 1-1.
I can't really talk about this one because I was driving.
Ruud van Nistelrooy's first and penultimate game. Give me a little bit about...
I can't really. I didn't watch it.
Ruben Amorim. What do you think about him coming in?
Yeah.
Underwhelmed then.
I just find it all a bit odd. He wants to stay till the end of the season. They tell him now or never. And then he comes and tells us all that he's been told now or never. Random.
That's a weird statement.
Weird.
Didn't need to be made, that statement.
He loves... No, I agree. He loves a wing back. So Dalot potentially looks like an option. Bruno Fernandes has decided to play football again. He looks all right. I bought in Garnacho for a 1 week punt. He probably should have got a goal.
Yeah. I was underwhelmed by this game from start to finish. I thought it was a really poor game.
From both sides?
Yeah. I think Amorim's got a lot of work to do. I think the game was there for Chelsea, actually. I was more impressed by Chelsea than I was United. Maybe there's some bias in there. Shock.
There's no pro-Chelsea bias in you, though.
But that's true. But the game was there for Chelsea to win, I thought, and they never really took it by the scruff. I was waiting for Palmer to take it by the scruff of the neck and just get a winning goal.
Right.
So when Sanchez comes out, and Sanchez is such a poor keeper, guys. If you're a Chelsea fan, let me know in the comments and stuff what you think about Sanchez. But just like we need a left back, they need a decent keeper.
They just bought one.
I know they've got 300, but they need a better one than Sancho.
I'm surprised that is it Jurgensen? I'm surprised he's not got a start yet.
I don't know, but when he comes out there, Sanchez, he comes out and he goes, it's going out of play, just pull your hands away. And then even if the ref gives the penalty, the VAR goes, no, he pulled his hands away. And Hoyland's dived. But he goes fully into it and makes sure he clips. It's just poor goalkeeping. Mm. So, Bruno, I'm sure, you know, you've just said Bruno's learned how to play football again. I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with him.
He was good in the League Cup.
Yeah, but it's their first game out. Right, we're into this is the phrase. It's the Manchester United new manager cycle. What happens is that all the players for about two, three, four weeks, especially the first game after a manager gets sacked, they are unreal, right? They are brilliant. And they were in the League Cup. They scored 5 goals. Never scored 5 goals under Ten Hag. First game he's gone, we're going to get 5 goals. Then they play average against Chelsea.
Hmm.
Watch them do all right over the next couple of weeks. And then watch them go back to being crap again.
But, just to caveat that, isn't that all we need in FPL? Don't we just go for a couple of weeks? Then you sell? Like, in FPL, particularly this...
Leicester, Ipswich, Leverton. Yeah, maybe.
Particularly at the moment, with the way that FPL is right now, and the way that there is no template, and the way that it's sporadic, and we are fixture hopping left, right and centre, I'm looking at Manchester United's next 3 fixtures and thinking, okay, well, we're going to see Van Nistelrooy, they clearly like playing for, and then a new manager bounce again. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive.
You're doing Bruno for 3 weeks on your wildcard then?
Maybe.
Because if I was wildcarding this week and I had them 3 fixtures and you had Bruno Fernandes sitting there.
Well, let's talk about Portuguese, my wildcard.
New Portuguese manager.
We can talk about it.
Could do it.
Yeah.
Our teams first or wildcard?
So our teams.
Teams, right. Let's get this crap out of the way. 30 points
for
me this week.
You've got 3 to play, Lee.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
But it's not. You've got Fleck and guaranteed clean sheet incoming.
Oh, stop taking the piss out of me, will you?
No, I was.
30 points. 569 down to 1.8 million. Absolute rubbish. It's actually getting embarrassing now. I was in somewhere about sort of 400, 500k a few weeks ago. Now it's just been shit after shit. It's been terrible. 30 points this week. Were it not for the Johnson and Rogers points, it would just be, again, absolute crap. I had a look back at how many times I've got the captaincy right this week out of 10 weeks.
Right.
Twice?
Early on with Haaland.
Yeah. And it's like, well, no shit. Everyone got that, didn't they? Because it's like Haaland against a bad team and Haaland was ripping in hat-tricks every week. So, all right, I'm going to captain him. Oh, he got a hat-trick. Yay, everyone's got that. So the weeks where I did get the captaincy right, it wasn't a differential. Everyone had it.
Yeah.
And every other week has been utter crap. I've been so bad with captaincy this year. So bad. It's unreal. Again, this week, crap.
But this game week is, yes, the captaincy, yes, absolutely. I'm the same. However, Flecken plus 2 of the best assets to own this game week in Mbeumo and Jimenez. Genuinely, I think that.
Everyone's got Mbeumo.
But not everyone's got Jimenez. And not everyone's got Mbeumo. He's not that heavily owned.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, 30 points is utter crap. It's Saturday in particular was 40. so difficult.
It was horrible
Saturday
yesterday.
Because as Soccer Saturday was going on, it was like all the players that have got, you know, maybe not really high ownership in FPL, but have got, you know...
Enough
ownership in FPL. Oh, bloody Leif Davis has scored. Great, I haven't got him. Oh, Vardiol's popped out of a goal. I haven't got him. And he's quite well owned. Chris Wood scored again. Yeah, great, good. Isak still got a few owners in FPL. He scored. I haven't got him. Who else was it? Yeah, so Salah scored, which I'm not upset about. Don't get me wrong. Cunha gets an assist. Who else was there? There was loads, wasn't there? There was loads that just popped up with goals. And I didn't have them. I just didn't have the assets that scored the points this week. And then it was made even worse. Semenya was another one. Semenya. I didn't have Semenya. And then it was made worse today because when it was 1-1 in that game, like I say, Rodgers and Johnson, fine. I had them both. And no clean sheets for either side. Happy days. No, can't have that because Solanke's going to go and get a 16 points and everyone's got Solanke. It's just like, it's unbelievably bad. Unbelievably bad. And on that free kick, on the Madison free kick, like, oh, God. I was sitting, Max and I were watching it, and Max was just like, oh, what a free kick, Madders. And I was, and I didn't want to say to him no, because he's obviously a Spurs fan.
And he was so excited to tell me about it, didn't he, wasn't he?
But in my head, I'm like, it was the worst. Like, I've never seen, like...
Martins just didn't bother.
You got Maddison there, who's an elite free kick taker in a really good position. And Martinez is just like, there you go, mate. Over there. just put it there. And I'm sitting there going, if this goes in, it's a Solanke assist, and I'm raging. Because he died for the foul, so that's not a foul. And I'm thinking, if that goes in and Solanke gets an assist for what is effectively a tap-in for Maddison, I'm going to rage. And Madison's just like, oh, I'll put it there then. All right, cheers. Yay. Another Solanke assist. I'm like, how are you getting an assist for that?
The best thing.
Unbelievable.
The best thing about that free kick, and you won't have seen it, is that there's a moment where... Before they take it, Emi Martinez is trying to set up the wall so badly. And Brennan
it
Johnson...
It was terrible!
But Brennan Johnson, because obviously I'm behind it. So Brennan Johnson, I'm like, what's he doing? And he's looking at the south stand. But he's blocking Martinez from having a conversation with his defender. Oh. The defender literally picks Brennan Johnson up and pushes him out of the way. And Johnson just stands there like, what of it? And then Johnson's just on the line.
Does such a good job as well, because the camera's on him and Madison's just like... He's looking at it, he's eyeing it up, and he's sort of like working out the angles and stuff. In his head, he's just going, I'm going to put it there.
Yeah, and
I'm
did.
I'm just going to put it there. And he did. And it was a goal. And I could not believe he got an assist for that. Unbelievable.
It was his 50th Premier League goal.
Unbelievable. Anyway, enough ranting. I'm annoyed with my FPL. I've not ranted all weekend because Liverpool top the league by 2 points. It's a happy weekend. City have lost, Arsenal have lost. It's all good. But my FPL...
It's not over yet.
It's bloody awful.
But it's not
FPL,
over yet.
1.8 million rank. Absolute dog poo. And 30 points this week is crap. And I need to do something better. Like, pick the right bloody captain. Your team, by contrast, decent green arrow. 24%, 47 points, up to 1.1. Wild card, active. Going to aggressively go after that next week. Decent.
Yeah, but... saved today. So I did a little Instagram story from the stands.
I think Solanke saved a lot of people this week.
A lot of people that kept him, because there was a lot that sold him. He was heavily sold. I sat there today before the game kicked off, and I said on my Instagram stories, I had four players in that game. I had Watkins and Rodgers, I had Porro and Solanke, and I was like, this game week, it was in the mud. I just had Vardiol and everyone else I didn't have. And I was like, if this doesn't pay off, then I'm reliant on Garnacho, who did nothing actually later on, and I only have Mbomo to come on Monday night. So when Rodgers scored, I was like raging, obviously, but was like, okay, well, fine. There's some FPL points there. Then Brennan scored, and I was like, oh God. And then Kudu got an assist, and I was like, oh. And then Solanke turned up, and I was like, right. I genuinely nearly cried when the first one went in, to the point where David, who sits next to us, was like, are you all right? And I was like, no, I'm so relieved by that Solanke goal in so many ways. I'm not sure I am all right. And then he got the next one, and all was good. And then he got the assist. And he saved my game week. I don't know whether the green... It should stick, because I've got Mbomo tomorrow. Nobody's going to massively hurt, I don't think. No. Obviously... Jimenez will hurt if he gets something. But we are where we are. After a red arrow with my triple captain active last week, I really needed something good this week. And so to have the green arrow is nice. But as you say, now is the moment where I have to make the fact that I've got my wild card still work for me.
Right, well, let's transition into that then. So this is the wild card that you've pulled together for game week 11. As we said before, a lot of FPL managers thinking about 12. You've gone a week earlier than most. Talk us through it. I think that midfield looks pretty, having not used the word template all season, that's looking like a pretty wild card template midfield. You're keeping Solanke?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. So I think that I said right at the beginning of this live stream, there were a couple of things that put me off doing it this week. And one of them was the Arsenal-Chelsea game that we have coming up. And at the moment, a lot of this, as you'll see, is players with the boxes still around them. This is the team I'm going to likely end up ish with.
You need to do something about Konsa, by the way.
Yeah, we'll worry about him later.
Yeah.
But at the moment, likely end up somewhere like this. But like, for example, Chris Wood is in the Raul Jimenez spot at the moment because
just gathering price rises.
Because I'm gathering price rises. So this is why it looks like this, just for anybody that's wondering. So for the sake of the podcasters, I'll read out who I've got in my team right now. So in goal, it's Raya and Fabianski. I don't necessarily want Raya for the Chelsea game. However, as Lee said, from 12, I think you do want to be back invested in the Arsenal defence. And he is the cheapest way to do that. So Raya is. Vandenberg, cheap, always plays for Brentford. I still like their fixtures.
All right.
He's going to mostly be benched. A back three, then, most weeks that I'll be playing of Dalot.
Dalot?
Yes, because I do like the idea of the wing-backs under the new manager. So I'm going to give that a whirl and see where we land.
Right.
Gvardiol's staying for now. And then Aitnori. And then, as Lee mentioned, I have got Kwanzaa at the minute. There is 0.2 in the bank. I can find a little bit of extra money from elsewhere by moving some bits and bobs around to upgrade him. Ideally, I'd like him to be Leif Davis, I think. I think that's where I'd like to be. But we'll more on that.
Any thoughts on a Forest defender? There's a lot of Milenkoviches, or there's my mate Olerena.
So up until about 3 or 4 hours ago, I had Sells in goal and Gabriel as the in my defence. And then I changed it because I changed my opinion on Dom Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't planning to keep Solanke. I was planning to drop to a front three of Wissa, Cunha and Jimenez.
Mm.
But I don't think that I can legitimately now take Solanke out ahead of Ipswich visiting.
Ipswich at home is a difficult one to take him out for. Yeah, which is why I'm kind of surprised he went this week and not next. But I can see it.
I had to go this week because the price rises would have priced me out of so much stuff next week, to be honest.
Webby saying, what about Hall from Newcastle?
That's an option.
Newcastle love in there?
Yeah, that is an option because he is cheap as well. So that is definitely an option. Livermento is also a bit of an option as well. But yeah, Hall in particular is definitely one I'm thinking about.
Okay.
Midfield five then, for the sake of the podcasters, is Salah, Palmer, Mbombo, Saka and Rodgers.
That's the five, isn't it? That's the five that everyone's going to have from 12.
Yes. But.
Mm. Go on.
My current plan is to build a team with this budget set for this midfield five and then not have Saka until 12.
Right.
So I'm going to play next week's fixtures by either having another Spurs attacker or Bruno Fernandes and then
in the Saka spot.
With the money in the bank for Saka
in 12.
From 12. So that I don't have to have multiple assets in the Chelsea-Arsenal game.
And if Bruno Fernandes has a great game next week?
Then I have to consider what I do.
Mm.
But nice the money is it's the nice problem to have, and the money would be there for Saka.
Yeah.
And then a front three currently of Jimenez, Solanke and Cunha.
All right. Phil B saying, still no Delap, Sam. Still no Liam Delap. Come on. Been bigging him up all year. You've got a chance to get him in.
Delap could be in the Jimenez spot. We'll see how Jimenez gets on tomorrow. Delap could be there. It's weird, isn't it? Because I thought looking at a team without Haaland would terrify me.
Mm.
But actually,
you're minimising your routes to pain.
I have, Lee.
Yeah, I like it.
And I quite like it. I do.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
I am so the other option here is, of course, to go for Sells in goal, as you were talking about, not have Raya. And then that money difference would be enough to go from Dalot, if that's a terrible idea, to go from Dalot to
An Arsenal defender.
Or if I decide I don't want to stick with Gvardiol, then I could also move him to an Arsenal defender. So there's plenty of play here with the budget.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of like what you can do without it. And it allows me to keep Spurs in Solanke.
Mm.
Now, whether I keep Solanke long term, because this is another thing as well, is that Solanke, I'm keeping him because it's Ipswich at home next. But then in 12,
you might want to move it on.
We have Man City away. So maybe I don't want to keep Solanke then, but then I can free up a bit more budget or I can move sideways. There's plenty of options.
Yeah, okay. What about, so a few people talking about this, going, I don't want to revisit it, but this whole kind of Rodgers Semenyo thing. You're pretty keen on Rodgers, aren't you?
Rodgers is 100% locked.
You're pretty locked on Rodgers. Yeah, fair
he
play.
He won't go anywhere.
Yeah, fair play. Well, listen, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, that's the midfield that, you know, many FPL managers will be going to in 12. So you're just going there a week early. Even if you don't have Saka for 11 and you have Bruno for a week and then book in the Saka transfer for 12. Don't, I haven't got a problem with that whatsoever. Kranzi you've got sorted out, but you know that already. Dallow's a bit punty, isn't he? He's a bit punty, Dallow. I think for 5.1, I don't think you want punty.
He's actually been good defensively, though, this season.
Well, yeah, but so are Forrest. I think you could have an Aina or a Milenkovic in there for a little and save yourself a little bit of money, have a bit more in the bank, potentially. That's the one thing I might do, but... Yeah, this I mean, you know, you could do Dallow to a Forest defender, and then you can upgrade Kwanzaa to a 4 or 5. You can have a Leif Davis or somebody, can't you, in there then, and have a bit more rounded score. Then you've only got one 4.0 to worry about as well. So
yeah, for sure.
So yeah, some tweaks around the edges maybe, but yeah, don't mind it. How set on it are you? Are you feeling like that's kind of it, kind of where you're at?
No, I don't think so. I don't think no. I'm like. That's it, I'm done. We've got a lot of football to be played, of course. There's still the Monday night game. That might change my mind on Jimenez. It might put... Because Wiss is definitely not out of the equation here either. Like, I know that Cunha is great and I really like him, but I really like Wissa a lot.
Would you have Wissa in that front three and then free up the Mbeumo spot for Semenyo?
Oh, no. I don't...
I think you want Brian.
I think I want both.
I think you want Brian. Both.
I think I want maybe. Both. Maybe. I really like that idea. Yeah, look, I think the defence is definitely up for negotiations. I think the front three is relatively stable. I think the midfield five is almost there. The decision will be, I'm not going to have Saka for 11. So who am I punting on for 11? Do I go for a Brennan or a Son or a Kulusevski and go all big on Spurs attack for 1 week against Ipswich at home?
Mm.
Or do I go for Bruno at home to Leicester? It feels like one of those two has got so much potential upside that it's worth playing it and using a transfer the week after to make that change.
All right, well, listen, if you fancy tracking Sam's wildcard activities throughout the week, you will be on the official pod, I'm sure, talking about it with Kelly and Jules. And you will be in our Slack talking to our Patreon followers for most of the week talking about wildcard. If you want a bit more Sam and I in your lives and you want to talk to Sam about her wildcard in our Slack community, then patreon.com/FPL family is where you can do that. All the links are in the description below. We run a 3, a 5 and a 10 dollar tier, and the what you get for that sort of goes up every single tier. The most popular tier is the $5 manager of the month tier, where it doesn't matter how bad a season you're having, if you're having a good season, a bad season, at the beginning of each month I will put everybody that's in our Patreon manager of the month tier in a table in an Excel spreadsheet, and we track the scores per month, and the top three will win a prize. And it's at this stage I have to say congratulations to Rory, Victor and Sean, who were our three winners from the October Manager of the Month competition. So all three of you guys will win a football shirt of your choice. The reason David didn't win, by the way, then he and Sean are on the same points there, but Sean took fewer hits over the course of October.
Okay.
So Sean pipped David to the post there for the third spot. So Rory, Victor and Sean all won a football shirt of their choice, and Rory, as well as a football shirt, will win an $100 voucher for a gift voucher of his choice, effectively. So we sort that out for him as well, courtesy of our friends at Sleeper, who are the sponsors of our Manager of the Month competition. So patreon.com/FPL family if you want bonus Ohana podcasts, if you want access to our Slack community, if you want entry into the Manager of the Month competitions, if you want Zoom calls with Sam and I to talk about your wild card or how your team's going, how to turn your season around if you're like me, then all of that stuff can be found on our Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family, links in the description below. All right, Sam, tell everybody what is coming up this week alongside wildcard tinkering.
I will be mostly locking myself in here, away from you all, whilst I tinker with my wildcard team to my heart's content, and obviously watch a lot of Champions League and European football. Not so much, actually. We had a very busy week last week, didn't we? Because we had, you had Off the Bench, I had the official podcast, I had the fantasy show, we both did Sky.
I love doing that Off the Bench last week, by the way. I think that's so, as and I don't know, it seems to work quite well, doesn't it, me and us?
Oh, my two favourites on a pod together. They're just great together. I don't know. It just got a bit weird then, didn't it? So next week's actually a little bit of a quieter week. What am I doing? I think it might actually just be the official podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay. So no FPL show, no Sky.
No, I did that last week. We did Sky last week. So we've got a bit of a quieter week.
Thank God I haven't got to go on anything public and talk about my team. Good Lord.
I wish we were, because this is the first time I've been ahead of you this season. And I kind of wish we had Sky this week so I could go on there and go, hello.
Yeah.
I'm ahead of him. But no, alas, it wasn't to be. So yes, it will just be the official podcast and then, of course, the Ohana podcast for our patrons. I'll put some stuff out on socials as well as I'm thinking about my wildcard team over the coming days. I'm sure of that.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, thank you everybody for joining us. Thanks for putting up with the slight technical issues with the stream. Ever since I refreshed the browser, it does seem to have been a little bit better. So maybe that's what I needed to do, or maybe just use a different browser. I don't know. But thanks for putting up with the technical nonsense this evening. Leave us a like before you go. Hit the subscribe button if you're new around here. And we'll see you this time next week when we'll be discussing how game week 11 has gone and how Sam's wildcard has gone. Good luck if you've got Brian Ebremo, Johan Visser, Raul Jimenez, come on, Raul, save my game week. Or indeed, Mark Fleckenig. Oh, come on, Mark Flecken, two penalty saves. Actually, might be pen saves from Raul.
No, you don't want, because then you'd get, I think.
Oh, I don't want that.
Do you know what? I think you should just accept. Just accept that Flecken's getting two.
And get Raul. I need a hat trick from Raul.
Because people have got Flecken, so just accept he's getting two and go all in on the two attackers.
Come on, Jimenez. Come on, Embremo.
But more in for Embremo.
Save my game week. Leave us a like, hit the subscribe, and we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.